Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archery's podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Last Stand: Ted Turner's Quest to Save a Troubled Planet is a nonfiction profile of Ted Turner, written by Todd Wilkinson, that examines Turner's evolution from media entrepreneur to major conservation figure and global philanthropist, rather than treating Turner only as the founder of CNN and TNT. The book focuses on how he used private land ownership, business resources, and public advocacy to advance wildlife restoration, landscape conservation, and environmental policy. It also places his work in the broader context of modern debates about wealth, responsibility, and the role of private actors in solving public problems. The result is part biography, part environmental case study, and part argument for what Wilkinson presents as eco-capitalism, the idea that profit, stewardship, and philanthropy do not have to be in conflict. The book is especially relevant for readers interested in conservation, business ethics, and the history of large-scale land stewardship in the American West. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, Ted Turner as a rare example of business power redirected toward conservation. One of the book's central ideas is that Turner's wealth and visibility were not used only to build a media empire, but also to create a large conservation footprint. Wilkinson presents Turner as a businessman who chose to invest in land, wildlife, and nonprofit initiatives instead of treating success as a purely private achievement. That matters because the book argues against the common assumption that major wealth necessarily produces environmental harm. Turner's ranch acquisitions, his support for conservation groups, and his funding of the United Nations Foundation are described as part of a coherent worldview in which capital can be used to protect ecosystems and address global problems. The book does not present him as a flawless hero. Instead, it shows how unusual it is for a billionaire to combine entrepreneurial ambition with a sustained conservation ethic. This tension is what gives the biography its force. Turner is used as evidence that business influence can be redirected toward long-term ecological outcomes if the owner is willing to treat land as a responsibility rather than a commodity. Secondly, private ranching as a tool for rewilding and habitat restoration. A major theme is the use of private ranchland as a conservation platform. The book emphasizes Turner's ranches in Montana and elsewhere as landscapes managed for wildlife habitat, not only for agricultural output or development. Wilkinson highlights Turner's role in rebuilding bison populations and in supporting the return of species such as wolves and grizzlies to parts of the region. This makes the book especially important for readers trying to understand the practical side of rewilding, a conservation approach that seeks to restore ecological processes rather than simply preserve isolated parks. Turner's ranches serve as proof of concept. Large private holdings can function as ecological buffers, migration spaces, and species recovery zones when managed with conservation goals in mind. The book also shows the scale of this idea, linking it to broader debates over fragmented landscapes and the pressures of development in the American West. Rather than discussing conservation only in idealistic terms, Wilkinson grounds it in land management, species restoration, and the difficult economics of keeping vast landscapes intact. Thirdly, the false choice between environmental protection and economic development. The book repeatedly challenges the idea that environmental responsibility and economic success are mutually exclusive. Turner's own philosophy, as presented by Wilkinson, is that one can build wealth, run profitable enterprises, and still make decisions that protect natural systems. This is where the book's concept of eco-capitalism becomes most important. Turner's example is used to argue that landowners, investors, and business leaders can support conservation without abandoning market logic altogether. The book connects that belief to practical projects such as Ted's Montana Grill, which uses bison meat and a conservation-oriented brand identity to promote a different relationship between consumption and ecology. Wilkinson treats this not merely as marketing, but as an attempt to align business activity with environmental messaging. The deeper implication is that conservation may gain more traction when it is tied to incentives, ownership, and public visibility rather than framed only as opposition to commerce. The book, therefore, contributes to a broader debate in environmental thought whether ecological stewardship should be seen as a counterweight to capitalism or as something that can sometimes be built into it. Fourthly, philanthropy at scale and the politics of giving without needing approval. Another important dimension of the book is Turner's philanthropy, which is portrayed as unusually large in scale and unusually independent in attitude. Wilkinson describes Turner as someone who gave substantial sums to organizations working on conservation, public health, global development, and international cooperation, often without demanding prestige or public praise. That approach matters because it reflects a view of philanthropy as a tool for solving problems rather than enhancing reputation. The book's treatment of the Turner Foundation and the United Nations Foundation shows how private wealth can influence public agendas far beyond local land management. It also notes Turner's willingness to support projects, even in places where he was not personally popular, reinforcing the idea that the value of a gift should not depend on social approval. This part of the book is significant because it links conservation to a wider philanthropic ethic the same person who tries to restore habitat on ranch land also attempts to address: nuclear risk, hunger, and international cooperation. In that sense, the book presents Turner's giving as a model of integrated responsibility rather than isolated charity. Lastly, A Biography of Contradictions: Media Magnate, Public Controversialist, and Conservation Advocate. Wilkinson's portrait is compelling because it does not flatten Turner into a one-dimensional environmental saint. The book emphasizes his public controversies, his forceful personality, and the gap between his private life and his public image. That complexity is part of the argument. Turner is shown as someone who could be combative, eccentric, and difficult, yet still deeply committed to causes larger than himself. By tracing his path from early personal struggles to corporate success and then to conservation leadership, the book explains how a person can carry conflicting identities at once. This matters because it makes the biography more credible than a simple admiration piece. It also helps explain why Turner became such a striking figure in environmental circles. He was not a traditional activist, but a wealthy operator from the world of business and media who adopted conservation as a life project. The book's narrative value lies in showing that public legacy is often built from contradiction, and that environmental influence can come from unexpected places. Wilkinson uses Turner's life to explore how reinvention happens when personal ambition, land ownership, and moral responsibility intersect. In conclusion, Last Stand: Ted Turner's Quest to Save a Troubled Planet will appeal most to readers interested in conservation history, environmental policy, business ethics, and American West land use. It is especially useful for people who want to understand how private wealth can shape ecological outcomes, whether positively or controversially. The book offers more than a standard celebrity biography. It uses Turner's life to examine rewilding, bison restoration, ranch-scale stewardship, and the political meaning of eco-capitalism. That makes it valuable both as a portrait of an influential public figure and as a case study in how large private landholdings can be managed for broader environmental goals. What distinguishes it from many books in the genre is its refusal to separate personal biography from systems thinking. Wilkinson connects Turner's choices to broader questions about development, species recovery, philanthropy, and the future of conservation. Readers looking for a nuanced account of a billionaire who tried to use business power for environmental ends will find it more revealing than a conventional success story or a simple advocacy book. It is best read as a serious, sometimes surprising exploration of how one individual tried to make wealth serve planetary repair. If you would like to support Todd Wilkinson, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.